It's great to be together to worship the Lord this morning and appreciate all of His good grace. Particular welcome to you if it's your first time with us. Great to have you here. I'm Philip. I'm one of the elders here. Mark, the evangelist of the church, has been leading us in our service thus far, and it's great to be here to worship the Lord together. It's our Everyone Must Know Sunday, and we're wanting everybody to know, and not just to know, but to respond to the great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to focus upon in our message this morning. So that is the sheet that we've got. I trust you have one, given one when you came in, to be able to follow the message this morning. And the Bible has been read to us this morning from Mark and chapter 1. And it's great to read the Word of God together. And verses 14 and 15 are going to be our focus this morning as we consider the Word of God together. But one thing I want to say as we come to this passage is this is for everybody. Children, it is great to have you here. Well, you can be involved in this as well, knowing the gospel message and sharing it with your friends. So from the youngest to the oldest, this is for us all. So everyone must know. So we ask, everyone must know what? And we reply, everyone must know the gospel. And at the heart of the gospel, there is the need for us to repent and believe, so that we can come into the great blessings from God. You see, your life depends upon the gospel message. Your eternity depends upon the gospel message. You embrace the gospel message, you have eternal life. You reject the gospel message, you have eternal death. That's what we saw on that great video we just witnessed earlier. Is there anything more important than this? Involves your life, involves your eternity. How long's your eternity, everybody? Any thought about that? It's a long time, isn't it? Because eternity never comes to an end. So I just want to impress straight away upon us this morning. The biggest issues are at stake in our lives as we're considering these issues. I know there may be problems and issues in your life, and I don't want to take away from those, but this is issue number one that we should be thinking about. And we need to repent and believe the gospel. This is our leaflet for the Everyone Must Know ministry. And it's great that it's been translated into all kinds of different languages. And again, we encourage you to take them, give them away, give them to friends, give them to neighbours. Yes, it's focusing on Feltham, but the leaflet is appropriate for anywhere in the world. And at the heart of the message that is in this leaflet are 4 points. And the reason for that is really that we could get these things into our heads. Even somebody as dim as me can get 4 points into our heads. So when you're speaking to somebody and they might express some interest, what are you going to say to them? Well, you think, oh yeah, I know, this is some sort of frame. I've got to tell them how great God is. And then I've got to tell them how bad we are. Then I've got to tell them how Christ has done everything that we might come back to this great God. And then I tell people how they need to repent and believe. And so I've got those 4 points. So in a sense, this leaflet is for giving out, but it's also for educating us as well. So all of us should know. What is the gospel? Think about it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Think about God. Think about us in our sin. Think about what Christ has done. Think about how we need to respond to the gospel. And to expand that, you know, God is great. How big is God, children? How great is God? He is just incredibly big and incredibly great. He is the holy God, the pure God. And we are those who have broken His holy standards. So we're guilty. We have lived lives which are dirty. They're not pure as they should be because we've gone in our own selfish ways and done things that are offensive to Him. So we're unclean. We're guilty. We're dirty. And you know, we're in the human family. And God has made us into that family. And God has called us to live lives for His honor. And what have we done? What have we done? We've shamed Him. Some of us really know what that is in our culture. Families are big. And that, if you think about that in our human families, we've shamed God. And that's who we are. And in that state, we're under God's anger. We're guilty, we're dirty, we're in shame all over our lives. And that is the real bad situation of humanity. And into that situation, Jesus Christ has come. So I want to tell you about Jesus Christ the Lord this morning, how He has come and He has done everything that we might be brought back to God. Yeah? Guilty, dirty, full of shame, and Jesus comes to the cross and deals with all that and is raised from the dead and is now in heaven and we can be brought back to God. This is good news. This is the gospel and we need to respond to that message. We need to repent and believe. Well, let's go into the Bible then and delve some more into this, into these great themes. So we're in Mark chapter 1 and we're going to see the right at the beginning of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. Josh told us earlier about being able to study the Word of God. And here we come into the exciting start of Jesus Christ coming into the world. So in verse 1, we have Him declared to us that this book is about Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. The most magnificent being to have ever come onto this planet. Verses 2 to 8 show how He's introduced to us. He's introduced to us. The introducer comes. Some of us will have been to a concert. And they'll be the main act. And why have you gone to the concert? You've gone to the concert for the main act. But what will there be beforehand? There is the support act. They are the warm-up act. They are the preparation act. Well, in a sense, John the Baptist is like that. He is the support act. He is the one who is setting things up for the main one to come. The one we should be focusing upon. And so we read in verses 2 to 8 how John the Baptist has come. Then we read in verses 9 through to 10 about how, 9 through to 11 rather, about how Jesus was baptized. And in a sense, this was His enrollment. Some of you are going to college or university and you have to go through enrollment. It's a process you go through in order that you're set up to do the course. And in a sense, with Jesus being baptized, He's now set up to go out and give His great ministry into this world before God. And so there would be blessing for people. The baptism is His enrollment. And then in verse 12, we read about how He was tested. It was 40 days and Satan was against Him. And He came through that. Every opposition to stop Him going forward. And He came through, and now He's on it, and now He's moving out into His ministry. And we read in verse 14 that John is taken away. So go back to the support act. The support act has finished. Done His job. He's been put in prison. And now here is the main act. Get your eyes on Him. All the floodlights come. All of those spotlights directed on Jesus Christ. And I want you this morning to get your eyes focused upon Him. Get your hearts focused upon Him. He's the one that matters. Your eternity depends upon your reaction to Jesus Christ. If you respond to His loving work in coming into this world to give Himself, to serve us by giving Himself amazingly, then we will have eternal life. Reject him, you've got eternal death. So let's get going. And the first thing I've got on the sheet, if you're following the sheet, is what is he doing? What's he doing? The most amazing man in the whole of history has arrived. The most important figure that will ever appear on this planet has arrived. And what's he doing? Legitimate question, that, isn't it? What would you want him to do? What would you think? Oh. Great political leader? Some would want that. Great social reformer, sorting out all the evils of society, of poverty, etc. Well, that'd be a good thing. A great healer. In a sense, there is a sense in which the Lord Jesus is in a measure in those categories. But his big issue is that he comes preaching. He comes, first of all, as a preacher. He comes as a declarer of God. That's what he says there in verse 14, isn't it? After Jesus was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. He came preaching. Now, as you think about this word, preaching, we have to go a long, long way back into our history. Some of us can't go very far back in our history, and we've never known anything, any life without computers. But there was a time when people had to rely upon messages being passed by word of mouth. And they would arrive in a town, so the king perhaps has got a big message. Perhaps he's got to tell everybody we're at war with another country. So that message had to be sent to the towns of the country. And then the town crier would come out. And he would declare the message so that all could hear and all could understand, because it was very important that everybody knew. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's got a message to declare, and he's going to make it absolutely clear, and he wants everybody to understand. You know, sometimes you're on the train and you get an announcement and it comes over and it's certainly not clear, and you're not left believing that they really want you to understand it, do you? They've just gone through the purposes of giving out a message, but this is not here. And it's for us today. We got a message that we want to hear. We need to hear. It comes from Jesus, and it's coming to us. So Jesus comes with a preacher. As a preacher, he comes to bring a message, and that message still needs to be heard today. And what message is he proclaiming? What's he proclaiming? There's a sense in which he could come and proclaim, "You're all finished. You're all wrecks. In all of your guilt and dirt and shame, you're all finished, and that's it. And I'm going to go back to heaven and live with my Father happy ever after." Could he have done that? Would that have been legit? It would. Yeah? Don't kid ourselves. It would have been utterly reasonable. That's all we deserve. But he comes with good news, and our hearts lift. There's good news, and it's from God. It's not made up by men. You're not interested in what Philip Venables has got to say this morning, are you? I hope not, because that's of no real relevance. It's what God's got to say. It's God's message for each of us, children, adults, everybody. It's God's message. And Jesus has come, and he's preaching, and he's bringing God's message. And it's a day of good news. Good promises. Good happenings. All coming from God. So that's the first point. What is he doing? He's bringing a message. He's bringing a message to those people those years ago up in Galilee. Could have done other things. Could have sorted out the political situation. Could have cleared all of the people who are ill. Could have resolved every social difficulty. But here's the priority. Priority still today. He's preaching the message of good news. Okay, so it's good news. We got that? It's good news. And he's preaching it. He's preaching it. And it's for us. Can let that soak into us this morning. And so we've all got that. First thing. So the second thing is, well, what's happening? What's going on? What's going on here? Well, Jesus tells us what's going on, doesn't he, as we go into verse 15. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. And you get a sense that what is the background here? Is there something that people have been waiting for? Waiting for. And throughout the Old Testament was the anticipation, the promise of one who would come, one who would sort things out, one who would be the rescuer. And at last, he's come. The king has come. The one who is the king of the kingdom has come. Who rules in the United Kingdom? Who rules in the United Kingdom? Well, the Queen rules in the United Kingdom, isn't it? Yeah, so the place where she reigns and rules. And Jesus is here talking about a place where God rules. A kingdom where God rules. And God is the one who is in control. And everything is under his authority. So the kingdom of God has come near. What's happened? Why is it near? Why has it come close? Well, let's go back, first of all. This issue about a kingdom is something that a king and a kingdom, which is something throughout the Old Testament. You see it sort of emerging in Judges. And in the book of Judges, you see right at the end there, that book with all of its mess, it says, in those days Israel had no king. Everybody did as they saw fit. There was no ruler. There was no one taking control, and it was a mess. Everybody was doing what they wanted, and it's as if we need a king. And they got a king in 1 Samuel and chapter 8. And it was the king they wanted. And it ended, how do you think? King they wanted? Well, the king God gave. It was the king they wanted. It ended badly. It was Saul. He was a man who basically chose his own ways and ended bad. And then God gave them another king. And he was David, a king after his own heart. And there were great promises attached with David. And there's great statements concerning this kingdom which will emerge from David. And it says in 2 Samuel 7, no need to turn to it, but I'm in verses 11 to 13 of 2 Samuel 7. And these are the words. The Lord declares to you, this is to David, the Lord himself will establish a house for you. That is those who will come after you. A dynasty, one after another, all coming from David. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offsprings to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's the promise. Initially, they might have thought it was all going to go well with David. He could be the one who was going to start it off big. Because David did well, even after 1 Samuel chapter 7, in verses chapters 8, 9 and 10 of 1 Samuel, you see him as a leader there who's wise, successful, kind, generous. And then in 1 Samuel chapters 11, you see what? What do you see? He commits adultery and then has the husband of the woman he committed adultery with murdered. It's not him. Then you might think it was Solomon. He was great. And his kingdom was great. And then he faded away and had multitudes of wives. And it was all a failure again. And throughout the Old Testament, they come one after another. These kings coming. And they're all, and they all fail. They're all not up to the mark. And yet there's still that promise in 2 Samuel 7 about this king who's going to come and reign in a kingdom. And then we have this great announcement. In Luke in chapter 1, where the angel announces to Mary and says, concerning this one who is to be born of her, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. He's come. He's come. He's arrived. The King has come into his kingdom, and there is now new hope. There is the one who is the fulfillment of everything. But what kind of kingdom is it going to be? And many were thinking he would come as a military conqueror, you see. Smash the Romans who were in control. And sort them out. And everything would be well. But that's not what we need, is it? Many think that's what people need in the United Kingdom. Smash all the baddies. And we'll all be happy. No, we won't. We need our hearts changed. Because our hearts are what? Guilty, filthy, and full of shame. And so God in his mercies does not send that political conqueror. He sends this king who is a saviour. Who deals with our hearts. Who transforms us inside. And so it is a spiritual kingdom. And so it invades this planet. Yes, in the future, Jesus will come as the conqueror. You read about that in Revelation in chapter 19. He will come to crush. He will come to conquer. But now it is the day of God's good news. It's the day of God's offer that we can have our hearts changed. That these filthy, guilty, shame-filled hearts can now be forgiven. And we can come back. And we can come into this kingdom. So the kingdom is coming because Jesus has come. He's fulfilled all the promises of the Old Testament. And he's coming offering that we can come into the kingdom of Philip Venables. Get away from that. That's no good, is it? Or the kingdom of anybody. The kingdom of God is what we want. To come under the reign of God. So that's our second point. What's happening? The kingdom of God is near. Jesus has come. You can have the reign of God in your life. Just to go as we move into our third point, what do we need to do? We can see immediately that it must be a spiritual kingdom because it says what? Go and get all your military weapons. It says repent and believe. You know, if somebody's going on holiday, you might ask them, what are you taking with you? And if they say they're taking their skis and all of their winter garments, you know what type of holiday they're going on, don't you? Or if somebody says, I'm taking my sun cream and my bathing costume. Well, you know what sort of holiday they're going on, don't you? The type of holiday. Well, you look at the type of kingdom here. You have it shown to us by what is connected to it. The type of activity connected to it is repentance and belief. It's a spiritual kingdom, you see. The issues are spiritual. It's not about getting your weapons. It's not about doing lots of good things. It's about repenting and believing. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do? This kingdom has come. What do we need to do? Children, this is for you as well. You understand. You can understand what I'm saying. This is for all of us. This is for you. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? The first question is, are you interested? The first question is, are you interested in God ruling your life? Are you interested in God ruling your life? Who do you want to rule your life. You say, well, I just want me to rule my life. You know, that's just what I want. I don't want anybody to order me around. I just want me. I just want to do what I want. You might say, I want other people to rule my life. Or you might say, I want an organization to rule my life. Some people are happy with that. I say to you carefully, though. I say to you carefully, at this point, if you don't want God to rule your life, if you just want yourself to rule your life, or what, other people to rule your life, organization to rule your life, we got nothing to offer you. Zero. Feltham Evangelical Church has got nothing to offer you. You might say, well, I thought we could have a bit of religion here. I thought that would do us some good. I'm saying we're not interested in religion. We're interested in a new life. And a life that's new comes when you want God to rule over you. When you want God to take control, you realize I messed up. I've chosen my own way. I've done what I want. And it's just seriously messed me up. If you're comfortable with your own way at the moment, then we've got nothing to offer. I would say to you, if you do come to a point where you're really messed up, then you know the kingdom of God's the only way. But if you want God to rule, you've got to be realizing that we're messed up, that we haven't done what we want, and I just want a fresh controller. I want my maker to control me. I want the one who is the arranger of the universe to control me, because I know when he controls me, it'll be better than me controlling me. How much time? Just a bit. A million times better. Because me controlling me means what? It means guilt and filth and shame. Because I'm always veering in the wrong direction. And that's what stops me coming into the reign of this kingdom. It's my sin, you see. I'm a sinner before God. I've got all this stuff before me. I want God to reign, and yet I realize I'm all messed up. I realize I'm a sinner. God is holy. David, when he was the one, as we thought about already, he saw what he'd done. It came to his heart that he had committed adultery, that he had caused this man to be murdered. What did he say? He said, that's a shame. Well, he did. He said, against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. He said that to God. And that's what we need to come to. As regards to our sin, as regards to our waywardness, what do you think about it? It's just an inconvenience. Or, you know, I know it upsets some people. I know it's a bit of a difficulty. The important thing is to know that it's before God. You've offended God. You've got this wretched sin upon your life. Everybody here, me and you, I'm included. We're all bankrupt. We're all wretched. And in the presence of God, we should be like Peter, who saw the Lord Jesus, who hauled in a massive ton of fish. And he said in the presence of the Lord Jesus, he realized God was there. And he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And he's broken. That's what we need to be. We need to be repenting. What's repentance? It means changing your mind. It means realizing you've been going the wrong way. And it means turning around. It means this is a terrible way, this sinful way. And you turn around. The Lord Jesus said, what did he say? In verse 15, he said, repent and believe the good news. We need to repent. We need to turn around. He say, I'm going the wrong way. I'm going the wrong way. We know that some of us who drive, we know that sometimes, don't we? If I carry on going this way, I'll end up hundreds of miles from where I need to go. So what do? Well, you say, well, this is the way I'm going. I'm going to stick with it. No, you don't. You say, I'll turn around. I've got to go the right way. And this is what God is saying to us this morning. We've got to repent. We've got to turn around. We're going the wrong way. And we need to turn around. And we turn around. We see Jesus. We see Jesus, the King who has come, who is the Savior. And we want him to reign in our lives. And we see that he is the great, almighty, eternal God, came to take flesh. And what did he do? Children, what did he do? It's the heart of everything. to the cross and took all of our guilt and dirt and shame and took it there and took all of God's anger against it, and he suffered all of the anguish of an eternal everlasting death. He suffered there. We believe in him. We have the forgiveness of our sins, all of our sins taken away, knowing that he took them at the cross. And we now have acceptance with God. We have all that stood against us removed, and we're accepted in Jesus Christ. This is the good news. And so I reiterate those words of the Lord Jesus: repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the good news. And dare I say, if you're a Christian again, if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for years, just celebrate and enjoy the gospel. Repent and just believe and see Jesus, who did everything for you, who's now in glory, and you're going to share eternity with him, and you'll never fully understand the depths of what he did on the cross throughout the whole of eternity. We will never understand what he experienced in those 3 hours of darkness as the eternal wrath of God was upon him. How can we fathom that? Something that is everlasting happened in 3 hours of darkness. Explain that to me. And yet we rejoice this morning in the gospel, in this wonderful message. So repent and believe. It's not about doing your best. Your best will never be good enough. It's about repenting and believing and knowing Jesus Christ. So are we all with it? We've seen what he came doing. He came preaching. We've seen what's happened. God's reign has come in Jesus Christ. And this is the place. This is what we need. Is God reigning in our lives? God is reigning in our lives. We're going in the right direction. It may not feel like that at some times. It may feel a mess. It may feel chaotic. It may feel madness to what is happening in your life, even at the present time. But God is in control. And by faith we say, your way is best, Lord. And so the gospel is the gospel about salvation. It's about rescue. It's about coming under the reign of God, the God who is holy, and we are sinners. And Jesus Christ, who is the focus of everything, has done all to bring us back to God. We need to repent and believe. Just to say again, a warning to you. This is real. We're on September the 2nd, 2018, but this matters for eternity. If you don't respond, you face eternal death. I warn you of that, because our sin is an eternal offense against the eternal God. It's not fun. It's serious. I warn you, if you don't believe with all my love I can muster in my heart, think about it. Please think about it. Don't just go out. Just grab somebody after the service if you're still confused. The issue is so big. Get somebody to pray with. Oh. So that is the gospel that everyone should know. I want to explain it to you. Think about it finally. Think about it like this. What's the greatest thing you would like to do? Children, perhaps you've done something this summer that you just love doing. Perhaps you went to Legoland. Perhaps you went to Legoland. You've been dreaming of it for months and you're able to get in. Well, how did you get in? Did you just walk in? And say, well, this is what I want to do today. What did you have to do? Well, you had to pay some money, didn't you? There were terms and conditions to getting in to enjoy that incredible experience that you had at Legoland. Well, on a scale which is so much grander than that, we offer you the greatest realm of experience. We offer the greatest position to be in, and that is in the kingdom of God. And God says it's there. You can come. You can come into it. You can have access. But you have to repent and believe. Doesn't happen automatically. You need to repent and believe. And we go on. We go on to live. We go on to live for God. That repentant and believing life. So fellow Christians, I say, go on now. Go on in the kingdom of God, repenting and believing. Go on encouraging your brothers and sisters to repent and believe, even in the hard circumstances of life. And if you haven't confessed your Lord in baptism yet, that must be the next thing on your agenda. To confess that I'm in this kingdom which is the most beautiful in the world. I've got the greatest position, forgiveness of sins, acceptance with God, knowing Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. Everyone must know. Everyone must respond. Jesus Christ is the good news. I've sought to set him before you today. Please consider him. And brothers and sisters in Christ, please go and tell of him. Because everyone must know. Their eternity depends upon it. Let's sing our final hymn, which is Great is the Gospel. Great is the Gospel of our glorious God. Sing to the praise of our beautiful Saviour, our beautiful God. This hymn that expresses so much about what our Lord Jesus has achieved for us. Let's really raise our voices and sing, Great is the Gospel.